This is Radio Influence.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
All right, everybody. Hey, welcome to Crush Performance. I am Jeff Crushell. The Con Man is here, and we're your weekly source for performance information. Hey, if you want to get in touch with us, do so. CrushPerformance.com is the website. On the social media platforms, Twitter is at Jeff Crush. Give us a check out there and let us know what you're thinking and if you have any questions. On Instagram, Facebook, and check out our YouTube channel. We're really trying to populate that YouTube channel. We're getting some great feedback as well. Just search Crush Performance and we'll hook you up with the world of performance as we attempt to help you tap into your potential and stay on the cutting edge of all the information that's out there. And there is a lot. It's not slowing down in terms of what we're learning and what we're studying. It's actually accelerating because the more we learn, the more questions we have, and there's a lot more resources being put into the world of performance, especially when it comes to the sporting world. And today we've got a really big show. Connor, how are you doing, my good friend?
Oh, Crush, I'm doing good. It's kind of nice to see a little bit of blue skies today.
Yeah, these fires. Fires, man. This has been an interesting time the last 4 or 5 years. I can't remember fires like this as a kid. And you know, I know lightning strikes and everything, but from California up into Canada, these fires are wreaking havoc on communities.
Yeah, I mean, I remember a couple of years ago with Fort McMurray, obviously, that the smoke was pretty bad. But this year, it's been tough, but starting to clear out a little bit. The Eskimos game's good to go tonight down at Commonwealth.
Two thumbs up.
A good sign, and should be a good one.
Yeah, and the marathon tomorrow. So fingers crossed for all those sporting events, because that's something that certainly gets impacted. Hey, today on the show, we've got a big one. We've got a lot to look at. And when it comes to creating opportunities for up-and-coming talent to develop, showcase themselves, and compete, there's a recent event that happened that I thought is just a classic example that I think more sports need to look at. The Hlinka Gretzky Cup that took place in Edmonton, Alberta a few weeks ago is the best on best of U18 hockey players from around the world. And I'm telling you what, it was really, really exciting to see. And it didn't get a lot of publicity. First time over in North America from the Czech Republic. And I thought it was fantastic. What a great opportunity for young players to get together and play against their peers. Also, what an opportunity to showcase your talent in front of a massive number of recruiters and scouts. And that's a big, big thing. When we look at creating opportunity for these young players, you know, it's one thing to create the talent, but it's another thing to showcase it, because at the end of the day, you have to impress somebody. When you're ready, when the time is right, you've got to impress somebody. And the gatekeepers of sport are the scouts. They have the key to let you in the door as a young, talented player. And I think on that note, it's really important that we get an understanding of exactly what the scouts are looking for, because I don't think we have a good idea in general. So today we're going to talk with Bob Green, the Director of Player Development for the Edmonton Oilers, about what events like the Hlinka Gretzky Cup mean for a sport like hockey, but more generally for young, up-and-coming talent. The events are very, very important. Preparing for those events are very important. Playing in the big arenas is a great experience, but getting in front of all those eyes, and what are those eyes looking for? It's going to be a great conversation as we shed some light on what the gatekeepers are looking for. It's a real important conversation. And then later in the show, as the hockey season approaches, we're going to take a look at one of our favorite topics. It's technology in sport. We're fascinated with this. We always have been. And again, here's another area of sport performance and human performance that isn't slowing down. We're going to talk to the Crush experts down at United Sport and Cycle to check out the new equipment and new technology that's now available in pushing player performance in the game of hockey. The hockey season's right around the corner. 3-on-3 camps are opening up, and the NHL camps are getting ready to open their doors. So it's a really, really exciting time in sport in general. Baseball, the playoff pictures are coming together, and though it's been a challenging year for baseball, NFL preseason, we've got the NBA rumbling to a start, we got NHL coming around the corner, college sports, high school sports are underway. Connor, just a great time for sport.
Yeah, it really is. And I mean, it's kind of getting, you know, the fall comes and I think that kind of gets people down. But for me, I'm like, nope, this is great. Everything is happening in the sporting world right now. NFL preseason, CFL, NHL camps coming right away. It's a great time.
Yeah, this is my favorite time of year. Fall happens to be my favorite season. but this is my favorite time of year for sport. No question about it. Hey, Connor, you know, we talk about technology all the time on the show. And isn't it incredible to think of the progress we've made in sport over the last 5 years? I mean, even just from some of the conversations we've had on this show, but in the big picture, technology is pushing sport to new heights that we couldn't have imagined even 5 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, sometimes it's even becoming too much where they have to kind of limit to what they can do. I think back to swimming at the Olympics a few years ago with those suits. People are getting too good. We can't have that. Technology, just things we've talked about. I think is it the Christmas show, the giving show?
Oh, yeah.
All the cool things we actually give away here on Crush Performance, it's hard to think like, man, it's come a long way.
Hey, in this Christmas, we're already working on the gift for the athlete. It's coming up. We are going to have some spectacular gifts this year because there's some new stuff that hasn't been available in the past. And I have three new entries in my top five gifts for the athletes. It's been fairly consistent for the last decade almost. In my top three, there's three things that I just think are above and beyond great gifts for the athletes, but there's some new stuff coming out and it's all in the name of technology. Hey, another question for you as we get into this show about creating opportunities for young talent. What did you think about the Hlinka Gretzky Cup, that best on best U18, the great young talent in hockey?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to get a best on best tournament in hockey. The World Juniors comes to mind, but still some of the elite players are with their NHL roster, so they don't make it to that. But at this one, with the exception of the United States, it really was a best on best. And it was a tough break for the States with that late goal. Obviously, no replays. But other than that, I thought it was a great tournament. Talked to a lot of people that went down and watched and had a lot of fun.
Yeah. Hey, talk about that goal, though. I mean, for what it is, it's every competition is meaningful. But what a coachable moment for the U.S. and their kids, you know, because that was a tough call. I think there's not too many people in the hockey world that would argue that. But what a coachable moment. What a great thing to learn at that age and at this level of the game.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's not always going to go your way. I thought the United States handled very well. They said all the right things afterwards. It's tough it goes that way. But I wonder, you know, at that age, you're still very young to have to refocus. You think you win and then you're going to overtime. It'd be a tough feat to come back from.
Yeah, no question about it. You know, it's the next generation of talent there as well. So across the board, every team had some very exciting players and every player there legitimately has a shot of going all the way. It's just a matter of who's going to rise to the top. And that's why I like the long game in sport. I really like watching and seeing who develops and who perseveres and who doesn't. And then we try to understand why it happens. And that's why we look at all these great athletes. I'm really excited. I've got my list of players, and some of them are highly noted players from that tournament. Some of them were maybe not so, profiled over the course of the event, but players that I thought were interesting. I'm going to follow these kids over the next few years with the World Juniors and the International Championships and, of course, the upcoming drafts. I mean, really, really exciting. Now, that being said, some of these kids are being projected already to be impact players in the NHL. And, you know, we're going to talk with Bob Green coming up here, the director of player personnel for the Edmonton Oilers, about how accurate that could possibly be at this moment. Now, I think we could look back. Let's take the most recent, Connor McDavid, right, Connor? We could probably look at Connor McDavid when he's 15 and 16 and start projecting some pretty special things. But even then, it's not a guarantee. When McDavid gets 16, 17, 18, now we start seeing maybe the true potential. So, it's a really risky business to start projecting these guys, but it's also quite all right to maybe start setting some expectations, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, for these kids that at that age, you kind of know what's going to happen. You work hard. You progress as you're expected to. Those are going to happen. It'll be interesting with Bob Green, though. I mean, that's a guy who's got junior hockey background.
Yeah.
Imagine drafting kids at 14, trying to figure out what they're going to be like. That's got to be tough.
Man, I gotta remember to ask him about the Bantam draft. The Bantam draft, for me, is one of the biggest travesties in sport. I mean, what do you know at that age? And we cannot accurately predict where these kids will go. We know who's talented at that time. But I think the draft might steer some of these kids down the entirely wrong path. And that might be a conversation for another day. So we'll have to get to that. That being said, some of these kids are going to go on potentially to be the next Gretzky, Lemieux, maybe McDavid, maybe Crosby, right? Maybe we could have a couple of those players. So that takes us to the text question of the day. Listen, we've got two $25 deluxe burger gift certificates to give away. We're going to be picking a couple people from Twitter at Jeff Crush and from our text line. It's 10-12-60 is the standard text line here. Standard text rates do apply. The question is, Connor, Conman, who is the most powerful impact player of all time in sport. Who would that be? I mean, the list could be long and hard. You know, we could talk about guys like Jordan might be one of the first guys you think about, right? You might think LeBron right now. Maybe in football, a name that comes Montana, Jerry Rice, game changers. These are athletes that impact the fate of a franchise. Gretzky, Lemieux, maybe Crosby. We mentioned McDavid, Ovechkin, of course. Impact players in baseball. I'm baseball right now. I mean, look, Sale, Scherzer, pitchers, position players. We got Machado. You know, there's players that can impact, have the potential to do it. That's a question of the day. Who do you guys think is the most powerful impact player in the history of sport? Let us know. Get to us, 101260 on Twitter. It's at Jeff Crush, and let us know what you think. Connor, any thoughts there for you? People that jump out?
Yeah, number one, LeBron James. He's been to the last eight finals. I mean, as dominant as he's been. And it's a sport where one player can really take over in basketball. In other sports, I think, you know, baseball's tough because you really need a great team around you, as good as you can be. Same with football and hockey. But in basketball, I mean, you saw what the Cleveland Cavaliers look like without LeBron James. It's a totally different team. They probably won't win, you know, 25 games this year. But with him, they're in the NBA Finals. So I would probably go with LeBron James right now.
Yeah, I think that's a strong one. Let's talk about baseball for a second, though, because you bring up a good point. And the reason I want to talk about baseball for a second is because when Cano took his suspension for PEDs, I thought it was a devastating blow to Seattle because Robinson Cano, I thought, was one of their true impact players, right? And so he goes on to his suspension, and Seattle just, they just keep rolling without really changing anything. So, you know, you're right. Maybe in baseball, it's a little more difficult to have that impact player that can change the fate, but I think they do exist. I really, really do. Another player I've been watching this year is when I was watching Machado, of course. If he went to the Yankees, I mean, I was tweeting my despair long before it was even a serious thought. But if Machado goes to the Yankees, it's game over. He winds up going to the Dodgers. I'm going, okay, well, listen, the Dodgers are closed. They're a great team. They've got depth. They bring Machado in, and they're going to dominate. Well, they haven't dominated. I mean, he's had a positive. He hasn't been a negative impact, but he hasn't turned that around. I think another sport, so baseball's a little tough.
Yeah, I look at Mike Trout.
Trout, sure.
One of the best players, I think, what, 6 years in the league now?
Yeah.
Twice an MVP. They've made the playoffs once.
Yeah. Yep,
exactly. Are his talents being wasted in Anaheim?
Right. So in baseball, I think you have to look to the mound, right?
Absolutely.
If you're going to really look at those impact players, much like in football, is Jerry Rice of that level? Is he an impact player? Is Jerry Rice, we took Jerry Rice in his prime and put him on any team, does he impact the future of that organization, or do we need to go to the quarterback position?
Yeah, I would. I mean, you've looked at Terrell Owens, Randy Moss. There's been some great receivers. Calvin Johnson. Calvin Johnson never made the playoffs. He was the best receiver in football for a decade, but never made the playoffs. I think you have to look at the quarterback position as a, you know, a guy like Tom Brady, who hasn't always been blessed with the most talented teams, but finds ways to make it work, has a great defense, has a good coach. But I think you look at quarterback for sure.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to soccer. I want to talk about soccer for a second because there's a couple names. We could talk Ronaldo, Messi, Neyman, Pelé. I think soccer might be a sport where a player might be able to have a little more impact. If you look at Ronaldo, I mean, he's making a big change here. Is he going to change the fate of that franchise? Is Messi going to change the fate of a new franchise? And there's a couple other guys I think we could talk about in the soccer world that are that level. But are those fate-changing impact players?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, obviously, they're going to do a lot for your team. But you mentioned the names. Neymar, Messi, Ronaldo didn't win the World Cup. France won the World Cup. So as good as they are, and they really do help your team, you still need a complete roster.
Yeah. Great discussion. And there's many layers to this discussion. One is we like to look at the world's top performers and find out what makes them tick. What can we learn from these guys? And also, depending on what sport they're in, there's a couple of great texts coming in already. One is Lance Armstrong on so many levels. What to do, what not to do, but not a team sport, really. I mean, no, I shouldn't say that. Cycling is a team sport. So Lance might be in the conversation if you want to go with an asterisk sort of a list, because obviously, he was helped along the way. Another text that's come in is Tiger Woods. Do we take individual athletes on this list? Impact players? Are we talking team players? I never really thought about the individual players. If you're talking Tiger Woods and Lance Armstrong, you got to talk Federer and Serena Williams as well. But Is this list, I wonder, do we need to close this list to more team-oriented sports?
I think so. I think if you're talking about effect, I mean, obviously, if it's a solo sport, one guy's going to be there. Tiger Woods, yeah, like you said, Serena.
Tiger Woods maybe recalibrated golf, though. Like, I mean, they changed the, they literally changed the game because of Tiger Woods. Serena Williams, well, they didn't really change tennis, but she's just been so dominant. She's definitely in the conversation when it comes to, you know, incredible players to watch. But yeah, that's an interesting part of the conversation, okay? And again, the reason we look at these great players is we try to go back now to these young developing athletes, see where they're at in relationship to maybe somebody with a similar skill set, and we try to learn from the great performers to help guide new emerging talents on their way. So great conversation. Keep the text coming in, 101260, and on Twitter, at Jeff Crush. We're going to be giving a couple of Deluxe Burger gift certificates away to people who participate there. Hey, coming up next, after this break, we're going to talk about the gatekeepers of sports, scouts, with Bob Green, the director of player personnel for the Edmonton Oilers. Right after this on Crush Performance, stick around, everybody.
I've done a couple presentations recently, one of the latest to an urban sport council. It was a 90-minute presentation that turned into an incredible 3-hour performance extravaganza. So much fun. And then I was asked to speak to the staff and employees of a construction company. What does a sport performance guy have to say to a construction company, you ask? Well, plenty. See, the strategies we use for improving performance in sport are virtually the same as the ones we use anywhere you're trying to perform or work towards a goal or outcome. If you want you or your organization to be successful, you need to make sure you have the best performance environment possible. And there are performance factors you can influence to improve productivity, on-the-job performance, and maybe most important of all, reduce the risk of injury. This is what I love to talk about. Everything you need to know so you, your team, franchise, business, or organization can operate at the highest level possible. I've been lucky to speak in many parts of the world, to sporting organizations, bankers, oil companies, sales teams, municipalities, schools, and now a construction company, all in the name of helping people to understand what it takes to perform at their very best. Right now, we're currently booking Crush Performance summer and fall presentations. If you'd like us to come out and present to your group, please write to us at info@crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
Find out what it takes to be a top performer. Get the Crush blog, podcast, and newsletter at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Hey, the website is Crush Performance. Get to us with your questions, comments, or smart remarks. Listen, we respond to every single email and question we get. And if you have a topic or an idea you'd like us to look into or investigate, let us know. We'll get back to you for sure. We may hook you up with an expert that you need to talk to, but we may also dedicate a segment or an entire episode to your idea. We really love it. And believe it or not, a couple shows this summer have come straight from the mailbox. So thanks, everybody, for writing in. Hey, today, a real important conversation. We're talking about a couple things. Creating opportunities for young talent. You know, we look to the pros to figure out what to do. It's also the sight. It's maybe the mark. It's where we're pointing our compass as developmental athletes as to where we want to go. So we look to the pros to learn what is going on at the highest level of the game, to give us a perspective in relationship to where we're at. And then we start reverse engineering it so we can help our young talent move forward. And there's all these great opportunities for young talent in every sport now to showcase and expose themselves to the people who are making the decisions. And in any sport, if you really want to crack the professional levels, even the college scholarships, that is one hard road. It's millions of athletes working towards very, very few opportunities. And the top of the heap get the opportunity. But how do you create that? And on that note, don't ever let anybody tell you you can't do it. I mean, there's a time you'll know. There's a time you'll know where you're at in relationship to achieving that scholarship or pro contract. But do not let anybody tell you it can't be done, because who really knows at the end of the day? Listen, we've seen unbelievable young talent fall to the wayside, never to be seen again. And we've seen these obscure players and athletes come out of nowhere to dominate and really, really impact high-performance sports. So there's no magic formula. There's no rhyme or reason, but you do have to impress somebody along the way. And when it comes to those college scholarships or those pro opportunities, the recruiters, and in pro sports, the scouts. The scouts are the gatekeepers of sport. If you want to get in the door at some point, you're going to have to impress them. The text question of the day. And again, we have a couple of $25 Deluxe Burger gift certificates to give away. And listen, Deluxe Burger, these guys take pride in their ingredients. I've been there. I know the guys. And that's why we're partnered up with them right now, because they are doing it right. And they're way more than just burgers. They got a great, great menu. We've got a couple of $25 gift certificates. I want to send you down there because I love everybody there. Get to us on text. It's 101260 and on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Who do you think is the most impactful player in sport? Like, who would you look to learn? Like, who's really changed the fate of a franchise? You know, we've heard on the text line already, Tiger Woods on Twitter, Tiger Woods as well. Lance Armstrong. I'm not even going to say that one anymore because I don't agree with that one, Con Man. He's just got such bitter taste. He leaves a bitter taste in my mouth because I was a big Armstrong fan until everything blew wide open. And Connor, you mentioned LeBron James right now as being one of the biggest impact players. And I can't argue that one bit.
No. And I mean, you could say Connor McDavid as well.
Sure.
Right now.
Yeah. But yeah. Yes. Yes. But that franchise, you know,
some things they need to work on.
Yeah. But they build around and take his lead. And again, there's other characteristics that go along. It's not necessarily just performance. There's other characteristics. We'll get to that for sure. But what are the scouts looking for? If you're a young, developing athlete, it's really important to know. And so let's get to it. We're joined now by Bob Green, the Director of Player Personnel for the Edmonton Oilers. Bob, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Well, listen, we're coming off of a fantastic event that just went over in Edmonton, Alberta. It was the Helenka Gretzky Cup. And what a great showcase for young talent, Bob. In your role in player development, player personnel side of the game, what does this mean for an organization like the Edmonton Oilers being able to see this group of best-on-best young up-and-coming professionals all in one place?
Well, it certainly makes your travel a lot easier, especially in Europe over the course of the year. You know, seeing them now, you can develop a schedule a little bit easier and then figure out where you need to go. But it's nice to see them in August. I know some people probably think that's a little strange, but it's nice to see them early. You know, of course, they change a lot over the course of the season, but you know, to get an early look at some of these kids, it gives you a picture in your mind of what they're like as players and gives you something to work with when you go to the rink full-time in September.
Hey, Bob, you've been on that side of the game for quite some time now. I think, you know, from our perspective in athlete development side, you know, we're making our athletes faster, bigger, stronger, all the great things, the skill sets are coming around. But how much has the game changed at this level over the years from your perspective?
It's changed a lot since I first started. You know, these kids at this age and even younger are way more prepared now for what's ahead of them, you know, physically and mentally. They you know, these kids have been through a lot. They really take few breaks during the course of the year, as you know, and you know, it's a full-time job for these young kids, especially the ones that have the ability to play it at this high level, you know, at the national team level. You know, it pretty much never stops for them, but they're well prepared for it. And by the time, you know, we sit down and talk to these kids at the combine and you know, you watch them through the course of the year, you realize how mature they are already as young men.
Yeah, it certainly has changed. We're talking with Bob Green, the Director of Player Personnel for the Edmonton Oilers. Bob, you know, it's a great opportunity for the clubs and recruiters and everybody to see this great group of young talent come together to compete, but it's also a great opportunity for these young athletes to showcase their talents a little bit. And I think we saw a few names really step up and potentially make a mark for themselves in this game. Boy, oh boy, what a great group of talent. And there were some great performances over the course of the week.
Yes, there was. And then for a lot of these kids, they go through this. There's a tournament, an under-17 tournament that's held every year in Canada in November. And a lot of these kids have gone through that and played, you know, for their national teams already. So, they've got a little bit of experience. They know some of the guys they're playing against. But, you know, it's a little bit different feel this year. Being a draft year, they certainly know that there's a lot of eyes on them. And there's probably 300 scouts at this thing. And again, it goes to the maturity level of these kids, you know, playing in front of 10,000 people, playing in front of 300 scouts. You know, the way they can play the game, the maturity in their game and the things that they do, I think for a lot of people that haven't seen, you know, this caliber of hockey before, I think a lot of people would have been surprised at how good these players are, what they can do individually, you know, with the puck and with the skills and how well they play together and the plays that they can make.
Yeah. Bob, I like how this is going to go back and forth from Europe to Canada. How important was this North American stint now? I mean, just in terms of maybe some of these young players, maybe a little closer to home for the North American kids, but even for the European kids, do they get a better look over here having the games over here?
I think probably, maybe not quite as many scouts go over to Europe. For the tournament in August, I think that, you know, the NHL team, most of their scouts are located in North America, so they probably brought more guys in specifically for this tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think for the European kids, probably a great experience for them to come over and play in North American rinks and get a sense probably of how important hockey is over here. If you probably talk to a couple kids that are from this area that played on the team, I'm sure it was a great experience for them to be able to play in front of their hometown and win gold here too, as well as, you know, the other kids to play the tournament at home. I think it was probably something special, especially, you know, with the size of the crowd just what the atmosphere was like in that gold medal game.
Oh, yeah, no question. And to play in the big house, too. That incredible facility that is Rogers Place. The Edmonton Oilers have done such a great job with that building. And for those kids to get a taste of that at that age, what a driver that could possibly be, hey?
Yes, it certainly, it puts a building on the map with them. And I'm sure it's pretty special for those kids to get an opportunity to play in there and see it.
Yeah. Bob, we look at the ability to project. And I know I've been around scouts in every single professional sport for years and years, and I have an incredible respect for the ability to project outside of analytics. We all know analytics and the numbers are incredibly important right now, but there is still an art to this game. Just in terms of projecting, these kids are very, very accomplished right now. You guys are going to watch, I'm sure, a group, and every other team is going to be watching a group of these or this group of players very closely over the next 3 years. How accurately do you think you can project where some of these kids will be 2 or 3 years from now? And I guess it all depends on whether things come together for them, but boy, there's some exciting potential here, isn't there?
Well, there is, and I think to project them from this tournament, I think is really difficult. You know, there's a lot of hockey to be played. A lot of these kids change a lot over the course of the season, and then some new faces, creep up on you. Some kids with late birthdays, that kind of thing. But it gives you, a first look at them. Like I said, it gives you a picture in your mind of what the player is like. And we're watching for the next 7-8 months and see how their seasons progress. And then, you mentioned analytics, and you take the analytics and you kind of put everything together, what you see in the player and what the analytics say about them, and you try to take all that information and make a pretty good decision with it. So it everything has to work. You need a lot of information before you make a decision on these kids.
We're talking with Bob Green, the director of player personnel for the Edmonton Oilers. Bob, this brings up an interesting point, I think, for a lot of young players and hockey families out there. They're so worried about being perfect and showing really, really well at these events. How important is it for you as a player personnel executive to just see really solid progress over the next 2 years? It doesn't have to be perfect, does it? But to see some really solid progress, that's maybe one of the more important points.
Well, it is, and I mean, nobody's perfect. We all know that. There is no perfect players. There's, guys that creep, close to it, but there isn't. And, we really have to look at the potential of these kids, especially this early in the season. You look at, the first thing you notice about kids when they come on the ice for warm-up is how big they are, and then, everything kind of evolves from there. And then, sometimes there's big guys that can't play, and there's smaller guys that come forward and they make you watch them. So, you're really watching their ability to make plays of the puck, individual plays, plays other teammates and they're just the basic skill levels, skating, shooting, passing, their hockey sense, all those things are so important. And in today's game, the skill and the sense are really the two things, and then the skating, those are the things that mean the most. And you want guys with skill, guys that can consistently make plays with the puck, and and impact your team offensively. That's what really what teams are looking for in this day and age.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot more opportunity for kids to develop now, Bob. You know, if we look at the college game, we look at all the outlets, I guess, for these kids to play. I notice a lot of kids coming out of the WHL for this tournament, especially on the North American teams. And I think maybe the talent level, and maybe you can comment on this much better than I can, but the talent level in those junior leagues is really, really coming up, isn't it?
Yeah, it's always been good. You know, I mean, like last year, for example, was a great year in the Western League. I mean, it goes in cycles. And this year, you know, a lot of the higher-end kids on this team were from the Western League. So it's obviously a much better year out here. But, you know, Ontario consistently has good players. And you know, the U.S., you know, especially with their national development program, they consistently have good players there. So, you know, there's a lot more kids playing now worldwide, and there's a lot more information. The kids are, you know, it's a year-round occupation being a young hockey player, you know, there's a lot of avenues for development. There's a lot of people working in the game, working with kids and developing their skills, and, you know, it's starting to show. There's a tremendous amount of skill on these teams, and the game is played different now at this age than was, you know, 5 or 10 years ago.
Yeah, it sort of feeds itself as the players get more skilled. The game gets to maybe be played at a higher level, and it comes full circle. Well, you're so right. Watching the U.S., Sweden, Slovakia, the Czech, the level of plays come up across the board. But boy, oh boy, Canada was strong, really strong, taking 22 of 28 gold medals. It was something to watch for Team Canada.
Well, this is a good tournament for them because they can. You know, this is the one tournament at this age group where they can get, you know, their best players on the ice together. And you know, the World Championships that happen in April every year, they might have access to maybe half these kids or two-thirds of them, you know, because if they're playing major junior, they're at home and they're in the middle of playoffs, a lot of them. So this is the one tournament where they can showcase their best under-18 players, and they've done very well at the tournament.
Well, you talk about the sharing of information, and there's no question that this event was paralleled with something else that was very important. It was the Center Ice Summit. And this is, again, big thanks out to the Oilers Entertainment Group and Bob Nicholson and Tom Remy and all the guys that made this happen. But the Center Ice Summit was an incredible sharing of information, and to see teams and administrative people from all over the world get together to raise the profile and the developmental side of the game, really, really humbling to see. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, and you know, we as scouts, we weren't really a part of that stuff, but I know I talked to some people within our organization that were part of organizing, and they were really excited about the, you know, the people that were going to be involved in it. And it's a great opportunity, you know, being involved in coaching clinics in the past and that type of thing. It was always exciting to have people come in and talk about their experiences, and you can learn so much from those guys, and there's so many guys that are willing to come in and talk and give you new ideas, and that's something that never grows old in the game.
Yeah, no question. Bob, listen, thanks so much for your time today. It was a great event. Congratulations to the entire Oilers Entertainment Group, Hockey Canada, and everybody else that was part of the organization. Appreciate your thoughts today. Really, really interesting to get that perspective from the player personnel side, Bob. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. Take care.
There you go. Great conversation and a little insight into that side of the game. It's so important, especially if you're a young athlete looking to get in. All right. Hey, the text question of the day. Thanks to Bob Green for that. Just a great conversation. The text question today, get to us again. Who is the most powerful impact player in sport? And we've got some great texts. We'll get to those after the break. And also another interesting text. You know, being a player is not the only area you can get into sport and impact it as well. There's the administrative side, and there's many, many things you can do inside of sport. Who knows where your developmental sporting career will take you, for sure. We're going to talk technology, one of our favorite conversations with the Crush experts from United Sport and Cycle, right after this on Crush Performance.
Do you love college football? Of course you do. And there's no better place for your college football conversation than right here on Rush the Field. I'm Scott Seidenberg, and alongside my co-host, veteran coach, scout, and consultant Chris Landry, we're going to break down the college game from all different aspects. Whether it's breaking news, big-time matchups, or just arguing about the rankings, Chris and I will have it all covered. So join us on Rush the Field with me, Scott Seidenberg, and Chris Landry. Available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.
If you have any performance questions, comments, or smart remarks, text Crusher at 101260 and follow him on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Now, here he is, the Crusher.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Again, if you want to get in touch with us, questions, comments, smart remarks, crushperformance.com is the website, and we answer everything we get there. Hey, I want to thank Bob Green for that great conversation, the director of player personnel for the Edmonton Oilers. What great insight into that side of the game, the scouting player personnel side. I mean, listen, if you want to make it, you have to impress those guys. So to understand and get a little insight as to what they're looking at is really, really important. I think maybe the most important thing to take out of that entire conversation, though I think all of it has some weight, but one of the things I think we should maybe focus on is the fact that they're not looking for perfect players. They're looking for players who have passion, players who are showing progress. And that's the real key. And that's part of mapping out a performance plan. So I want to thank Bob for that. Well, listen, one of our favorite topics in all of sport is the influence of technology on human performance. And I'm telling you right now, with the hockey season coming around the corner, you'd think that we're sort of at a, maybe at a peak when it comes to the influence of technology in a sport like hockey, but I think we'd be sadly mistaken. We're going to the Crush experts down at United Sport and Cycle to talk about what's new. Kelly Hodson joins us. Kelly, thanks for coming on today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, I love talking to you guys, especially about these kind of topics. But before we get to that, we have a text question of the day. We've got some Deluxe Burger gift certificates we're giving away. And the question is, who is the most powerful impact player or athlete in sport? And I wanted to just, you know, you and I have talked performance many times, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on, for you personally, is there a player that stands out in your mind that you might look at to say, hey, man, that's a guy I got to try to unravel and figure out, because he or she's impacted a franchise?
Yeah, I know that's a great question. And actually, it's a question I've been in many circles and we've tried to noodle around. And I'm going to break mine down like this. You don't need to know how to do everything the best. But whatever you do know how to do, you need to do it the best. So when I think about, you know, hockey, and I think about McDavid and Crosby and Ovi, and basketball, LeBron and Curry, Harden, Westbrook and Durant. Maybe in golf, we're talking Tiger, McIlroy, Johnson. And football, of course, we talk about Brady and Rodgers. And baseball, Judge, Kershaw, Trout. And soccer, Neymar, Messi, Ronaldo, and Kane. And tennis being maybe Nadal and the Williams sisters. When you think about all those different athletes in sports, and you think about their physical ability, their mental awareness of the game that they play. And I think what we could all agree on is that those athletes are much different athletes in their sport, but also outside their sport, the way they approach their game. But the thing that I think we can agree on too is that whatever they do, they are the absolute best at it. Whatever their shtick is in the game is that they are number one. And I think that's what you got to be. I think maybe just agree that today's athlete is more athletic than ever. You're not seeing the big chubby guy, you know, running up and down the soccer field or on skating on the ice kind of thing. They're faster, they're stronger. But also too is that I think the understanding of their game, the term I use in soccer, you know, I coach, is tactical awareness of the game. The more they understand not only their position, not only every position within the game, but how the game is played, I think is that is the unsung hero for their game. If you can have a greater understanding of the game and your opponent and how to exploit their weaknesses and how to build upon your team's strengths, I think that today is what makes today's best athlete.
Oh, Kelly, great, great conversation right there. And I agree with you. I know that, you know, for our players who are getting close to either their scholarship years or their draft years, one of the things we really focus on are their strengths? What are you good at? If you're good at something inside of your game, don't just be good at it, be the best at it. Really, really focus on your strengths. And I think you're absolutely right. We get taken away with trying to be these all-around great players, and it just waters down everything. I mean, you got to support your strengths for sure, but you have to be exceptional at something, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you may say, you know, that player, he's not a two-way player. That player can't come back and back or whatever. But if that player is, you know, putting the puck in the net or putting the ball in the net or you know, consistently hitting, you know, 50 home runs for you a season or whatever, are you really going to talk about the part of the game that they're lacking? Or are you going to say, you know what, I'm going to take that player's strengths and that piece of the puzzle in my team, I know I've got that taken care of. And, a funny thing you say, that player's got no backhand. Well, if they're 86 goals in a season with their forehand, okay, I'll take a player with no backhand any day.
Right. Hey, man, we're talking with Kelly Hodson from United Sport and Cycle. Kelly, yeah, you're so right. It's true. And I think we have to keep that in perspective as well. And I think that's what the real good player personnel people do. I mean, we talked about this actually last year. One of the reasons the Patriots are so great is because Belichick is a master at really identifying maybe undervalued talent, talent that fits into his system. He goes out, and these guys might not shine in the big picture, but they're exactly what he needs in his puzzle to make his organization click. And I think that's a true, true skill that isn't that common in pro sports.
No, absolutely. Yeah. How many pro sport teams or national teams go to Olympics or national championships or whatever, and they found out that they got it wrong because they went ahead and selected what they thought was the, if it's a team of 18, it's the 18 best players, or you know, football, it's 50 best players or whatever, and then you don't got the chemistry and you haven't checked off all the boxes, or like you said, put all the pieces of the puzzle together, and then you found out that you're really great in these certain areas, but we're, you know, maybe a little bit weaker in these others. And I think that's it. I credit Belichick a lot when I think about him and his coaching is you're right. He'll take a ride on a player that, you know what, maybe not the fastest player up the field, maybe not the greatest set of hands, but can do this exceptionally well. And that is something that he's missing in his puzzle. And when you take a look back at his teams from 10,000 feet in the air, you're like, yeah, you know what, they're from soup to nuts. The team is awesome.
Yeah. You're right. Damn, I'd like to go on this line of conversation for the rest of our segment here, but we're running out of time, and we haven't even touched technology yet. Technology is one of our favorite ones, but I just have to finish up that thought. You know, we did a conversation with Alex Anthopoulos just after he left the Blue Jays and took over at the Dodgers. He's now, of course, the GM with the Braves. But one of the things he said that he's learned over the years is he used to go for the shiny things, like the real talented players. He no longer does that. He looks for those quality players, those character players, and that was a great conversation. I think that's a great example of what we're talking about here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a term that's been overused in sports, and it's rarely done by a lot nowadays. But the ones that do really shine, I find, and it's that first on the ice, last off, or first on the court and last off kind of thing. And those are those players that find passion in the game. And for me, that is a passion thing is not something that's coachable. And in fact, a lot of youth coaches today take that away from the player by drilling that in and saying, you must be passionate, you must be dedicated, you must be determined. Well, if you're having to tell your player that, then they don't get it. They're already not getting in. There's something that's not igniting in their fire that you're able to get. And I love that athlete. You know, when I'm driving by a school field and I'm seeing a kid knock balls into an empty goal that they're going to have to go chase, or you see a kid on the driveway and they're finding joy with the Beats headphones on and they're just trying to ring the bar off the puck off the crossbar, or, you know, on and on and on. We could talk about this forever, but igniting a athlete's passion in their sport is, that to me, that's the unsung hero.
Oh, Kelly Hodson, I tell you what, we're almost out of time here, but listen, we're putting together a couple of very, very important shows for the fall. We're putting together some coaching shows, and we're asking the question, what are the five things you'd like to learn as a coach to help you become a better coach for the age group you're coaching? And it's interesting you mentioned that. How do you, because we've had this question come across our table, and anybody who wants to write in, please write to us, info@crushperformance.com. What are the five things you'd like to learn more about as a coach to help improve your players. Kelly, listen, we got to get to this really quickly now because this was the original topic here, is technology. Listen, we look at all sports and they've been influenced by technology. There's some really cool things right now going on as the hockey season approaches. For hockey, you think it'd reach a ceiling, but man, we're pushing the limits here. We've got custom skates, and this is a real, real big advancement for helping players achieve in the game.
Yeah. Custom skates used to be for that varsity player or certainly somebody in the junior ranks or, of course, the pro ranks. And stuff that it's, oh, you know what, I don't get that. That opportunity is not available to me because I'm not at that level. Well, custom skates is now available from Bauer CCM and True Hockey for anybody, absolutely anybody. And then now, you know, the next question is, well, shoot, they probably got that price so far away that it's not sensible for the elite hockey player or even, you know, just a competitive hockey player. But the price is reasonable as well. And now the timelines used to be 12 to 16 weeks when we used to order them for some of our youth and university players or some of our junior players. And now they've got that timeline under 5 weeks. So custom skates, imagine, I mean, we could talk about it all day, but just imagine a skate made specifically to your foot exactly the way you like it. Maybe you want a double thickness of your tongue. Maybe you want a certain blade and not another. Maybe you don't like a certain liner inside the skate because it gives you irritation on your foot. All of those things are made available to you. And again, a 3D scan done of your foot and the skate made specifically to that foot. I mean, anybody that's in the game that is thinking about taking their game to the next level, we always talk about a skate being an extension of the foot, and the ideal skate is one that really, just think about it, is a blade riveted right to the bottom of your foot. We have 100% in responsivity from foot to blade, and now you can do that with a skate at retail.
Yeah, great stuff, Kelly. Listen, we're out of time. Hey, what I'd like to do, I want to reserve the right here to get back with you. Early September, let's revisit this technology because there's so much to talk about, and the custom skates are a game changer. How you sharpen your blade is a game changer. The custom sticks are a game changer. So for anybody who wants more information, hey, go to the website, unitedsport.com, or get down to the shop. Kelly, we're out of time. Listen, I thank you for coming on today. Really appreciate your insights on the player development side of things, and of course, the technology.
Yeah, you know what? And we don't even have to wait till the next show. Our customers have the opportunity to come down and talk to us every day. So
absolutely,
look forward to talking to everybody.
Yeah, great, Kelly. Thanks so much. All right, everybody, we got to get out of here. Thanks for your participation today. We'll talk to you next week on Crush Performance.
Goodbye now. Don't forget to ride.
This is the Landry Football with Chris Landry. Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
Ryan asks about the possibility of Mike McCarthy being on the hot seat if the Packers underperform. I think every coach is under the hot seat. I think Mike, I don't know that his job's in jeopardy of losing unless there's some extenuating circumstances that will cause that. But I think that with a new general manager, there's an expectation level of getting this team to the next step, which is back to the Super Bowl. For that to happen, it's got to come in the way of better personnel on defense. They've tried to address some of that in this draft. We'll see how that works. I put it as much on the front office as any, but I think how they've developed and how they've coached, Mike is certainly culpable and responsible, and we'll see how that plays out. It'll ultimately determine kind of where they need to go.
Chris Landry brings you Landry Football every week on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.